All right, we're back. Welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the regular guys, random thoughts, 90 Day Fiancé, season 9, recap so far.
So that's something I never thought I would hear you say, and it just makes my heart flutter.
You know, it's because all the awesome people that follow us on our page and comment, I'm doing this for them. I'm taking one for the team, for them. I'm going to die early in life because I'm going to try to help shed some joy and cash some happy checks for our listeners.
I like the way you look at this. That's great. You know, it's great to come up with this good attitude. And for those of you new to the show, you got to understand why Terrell seems a little reluctant to do 90 Day Fiancé, right? Because he's never really been a fan of reality TV. He gave up on it back in the day of Rock of Love and said he'd never watch reality TV again until there was a Black Bachelor, which was going to be a very sure bet until Matt James entered the chat and he was stuck watching The Bachelor. So me being a good friend that I am, I watched it with him. I never liked The Bachelor. And after that, we still don't either. But in return, because Terrell is such a good friend too, he watched one of my favorite shows, Married at First Sight. We've been through season 13, season 14. And because you wanted us to do 90 Day Fiancé, thank you, Prayer Warriors. Thank you. Thank you. How do prayer hands go? Thank you. Is that the prayer hands on
the prayer? No, I thought that was don't shoot. I thought that was don't shoot. That's hands up, when you get pulled over by the cops.
That's hands up, don't shoot. That's hands up, don't shoot. That's prayer hands. Anyway, here we are, 90 Day Fiancé. I'm glad we're going to do this one because 90 Day Fiancé is such a hard show to pick up. It's like watching Game of Thrones from season 3 or 4, right? Because so much has happened before. But this one has all new characters except for one couple. And we'll get to them in order of appearance as we recap season 9, episodes 1 through 3. And then from here on, we'll do weekly recaps and we'll have those on Sunday nights, right? But let's start. We would do order of appearance, but we got to leave Bilal and Shaida for last on today's show because there's way too much to say about them. So let's move on to the next couple in the order of appearance. Kara and Guillermo. I think that's how she pronounced it properly. Guillermo.
And she rolled the L's. Guillermo. Guillermo. So I'm going to have so much fun making fun of this show because it is so stupid. So one thing that's really interesting about all these couples is they all met a good 2 years ago.
Right.
But, and you'll hear this throughout the whole deal, because of COVID. So,
and then COVID happened.
And then COVID happened. So all of them put in for the visas. COVID happened. So they've been, you know, video chatting and all this stuff for at minimum a year to 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they still don't know jack crap about each other, which just makes me laugh. But anywho, so Kara and Guillermo.
Very good.
Thank you. Spanish classes. Estudio español en mi escuela para 3 años.
That's all you learned too, huh?
Anyway, Kara and Guillermo, I think, cute couple. I find it interesting that Guillermo is going to leave his home, can't work, and come here, and she's expecting him not to be some type of child. But that's really what you're doing, because he can't work legally.
But that's everybody, so, yes.
Well, exactly. So it's like, but he's 23. She's 29. She has a job, responsibilities. He's just now seeing some of the world. So maybe, you know, little Mrs. Robinson kind of a thing. Maybe it's just, he's just so in love. It's so good.
Here's the thing about Kara to me, though, right? She plays up this age difference so much, you'd think that she was 15, 20 years his senior. She's six years older than him. But she's like, you know, oh, yes, I'm robbing the cradle. And to the point that she says it so much, you can see it irritates him. And I can understand why, because who wants to hear that? And if he would have, well, my old lady, my old ass lady, old grandma over here, if he was saying that over and over again, she would be irritated. And yeah, that I could really see how it started to work. His notion, he's like, my brother can make that joke because that's my brother. He can joke. But my woman? No, no, no. Stop that.
Yeah, and that was her time to step up and say, actually, no, he is a responsible, mature man. I don't see him that way. You don't chime in on the joke because that's how he's got to feel because everyone's telling him this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure everyone's telling him this. And then in that Latin culture, that machismo thing, and what do they call it when a white person dates a brown guy to get him his pay? I forget. They had some type of phrase they called it on the show.
Yeah.
That happens out there. But I don't know. You know, I think that he does come across a little bit immature, but I mean, he's 23. He comes across like a 23-year-old.
Yeah.
In my opinion. So I'm curious to see how all this is going to work out. You know, she's cute, though.
She is cute. You know, the problem is that she's extra needy as well, too. Did you miss my smell? Yes, I did. Well, you didn't say it.
I want somebody to tell me, did I miss your smell? I'm just going to Febreze him real quick. Just
let's be real, because that person that you have that connection with, it's what they call it, the pheromones that you have. It's that animalistic instinct that sometimes you just, you feel that, right? So I can get the part of, did you miss my smell? Because he's probably said, I love your smell to her before. You know, I love the way you smell. I may have sniffed her in her neck and all that. But to be the fact that she's like, did you miss my smell? Yes, I did. But you didn't say it. Like, does he have to say it every time?
He's like, yeah, I did. But I didn't miss all this extra bullshit that you're doing right now. Didn't miss that.
I'll tell you what I didn't miss. This shit.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like, what I saw out of this with her, too, is she really does see it as robbing the cradle because she babied him. I like the fact that she came with him to travel back with him because understanding how U.S. customs works and, you know, she can be that white woman savior when they get to customs and that customs officer's like, what do you mean your passport's expired, boy? And she can be like, don't you talk to him like that.
I want to speak to your manager.
But Kara can turn into Karen and help the situation. I'm all for it, okay?
Yeah. No, no. She went down there to go fly with him back because you can't let children travel alone. And so that's what she did. It wasn't all out of love. She went over there to hold his hand. Make well, sure you know, the pilot gives him some wings that he can put on his shirt.
You know, it's funny you should say that because look what I have right here. You're right. She did go to make sure he got there safely because the way she was like, well, do you have your documents? Do you have this? Mm-hmm. Do you have that? Do you have your clean underwear? Are you wearing them?
Do you have your goldfish? Do you have your Cheerios? You can bring one toy. Just one toy.
Oh, my God. This is going to be a fun season. On to the next couple, which I was like, when they started this whole segment with him, I was like, who, what, why? I'm talking about Jabri and Miona. He is a character all by himself. You like Sriracha from Married at First Sight? This is Sriracha times 10.
Yeah, the Cisco remake they got on here from South Dakota. I'm just like, what is your deal? Way too extra. And so their story of how they met, because this wasn't like, you know, he was surfing online. His best friend's from Serbia. He goes out to Serbia, comes across this girl. Now, everything about this girl tells me she's looking for the life and to get out of. Now, he carries himself like he's rich. You know, he has that persona, and I admire that about him. I think that's great. But again, this is the stupidity of reality TV shows. You live at home, and you had to take your dad's truck to go pick up this chick that just flew from Serbia to South Dakota. I'm like, why are you trying to get married to somebody when you're living at your parents' house and you got to borrow dad's truck? Like, what are you thinking? And I don't care about it's COVID and this. You can get other jobs doing something until, you know, the music scene opens back up and you can start performing again. But you got Jack to offer. You even ripped your damn pants. And instead of changing, because you wanted to floss and look the part, you went and showed up with your booty hanging out.
What's that? It's Djibouti. The problem with Jabri is that he is a dreamer with no plan at all. And there's nothing wrong with being a dreamer. We all have dreams. And I am never one for killing anybody's dreams. But what do you do in the meantime? And that's all that you're saying here. You and I agree in this point in the fact, like, 2 years ago, your plan was to get her over here. You were living in L.A. And then COVID happened. And so you had to move back home to South Dakota. So now you had to move back home to South Dakota and move back in with the parents. Now you're doing chores like you've never done them before, having to mow the lawn and all this other stuff. Don't have your own car. You got to drive your dad's truck. You don't even know how to roll the windows up when you're going through the damn car wash. Ridiculous. You want to talk about somebody who's not ready, and this guy's 28 years old. But here's the other thing about this. I can't blame Miona in this case because she has been nothing but honest with him. I want to go to L.A. That's where I want to be, in the big city. And here's the problem that I've seen in past episodes and past seasons of 90 Day Fiancé. You've got these people who bring these folks in from other countries, not understanding that what these people see is what they know of the country, is what they've seen on TV. Take it from somebody who's lived outside the country, grew up outside the country. I know what you see on TV. When you think of New York City, you're not thinking of New York. When you think of New York, you're not thinking of New York State. You're thinking of New York City, right? So when you're thinking of America, you're thinking of L.A. You're not thinking of Rapid City, South Dakota.
And no one's thinking of Rapid City, South Dakota. Which, but that's what blows my mind. The cost of living there is super cheap.
Yes.
How can you not find something to make money and to be able to take care of you and this spoiled little diva that's expecting to come out here and be a star?
Would you hire Serbian Cisco?
Would I hire Serbian Cisco?
Yeah.
To do what?
Anything.
I wouldn't hire him to be a recruiter. No. Because he's just too extra. He's just too extra. I wouldn't want to come into work and, you know, hey, boss, I got the red carpet for you. Now, pose from. Yeah, get it. Yeah, get that coffee. Come into work. No, he's just too annoying. I just don't have, I couldn't deal with
you're
that
star.
Energy. Yeah, couldn't deal with that energy. Yeah, but, you know, but there's other things that he could do that, I mean, you work in a restaurant. He'd be a great bartender.
Yeah.
He would be a fantastic bartender. He would keep people engaged. Mm-hmm. People would come there just for him.
Right, because he would be that. Entertaining.
Totally would be, right? So, I mean, but you're 100% right. I agree with you that she's been upfront from the beginning, like, I want L.A., I want to live the life. And she's told him now he's probably promised her that.
Yes.
But not going to do that in your mom's house and driving your dad's truck.
And the fact that he's like, well, we may have to live here a little longer because I've got to, you know, the way my bank account is set up and we need to save some money. Well, if you need to save money, don't bring her over right away. Hey, babe. And I get it. I think once the K-1 visa is approved, then you have to go into effect. If I'm correct, I've never looked up the K-1 visa, so I don't know that for sure. But I think once it's been approved, you have a certain amount of time to get that person over. And then once they land, then 90 days begins. Right. So that being the case, that's probably why he had to say, come on over. But you got to have a plan. And he has no plan. His only plan is, well, I know your dream was to get married on a beach, but how about we do a farm? I know you want to live in L.A., but how about we do South Dakota?
do Iowa. It looks like L.A., depending on how you spell it. But be Iowa. She ain't going to know the difference. Well, exactly. Here's the thing I don't get either. When COVID happened, what were y'all doing for a year and a half to save money? Do anything with money? Like, what were you doing? At all. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew people that had all kind of hustle. There were bartenders that would have, like, go Facebook Live and you could donate to them and all that. I mean, there were so many different things people did to try to hustle and make some money.
Yeah.
What was this fool doing?
Could have made some
money. And his boy, this is when you got to trust your friends, right? Your boy, who is from Serbia, told you, no, when I met her, no, she comes across too high maintenance. I don't think this is a good idea, but if this is what you want, go for it. That sounds like something I would have told you.
Don't think you would have had to. But the fact is,
you'd be like, but look at those lips. I'd be like, no, they're fake.
Well, there's more. I mean, because people were calling out for blackfishing. But the fact is, you know, and you may not have heard of blackfishing. Blackfishing is when they say somebody who's white, then tries to change their appearance to look as if they're mixed. And she's come out to say, look, she's got Middle Eastern blood in her line and also Mexican blood in her line. So there's that. Really and truly,
okay, Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, exactly. But rather than dragging up a blackfishing, they should drag her for those Batman villain eyebrows she likes to sport. I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
She got that Catwoman.
That ain't Catwoman. That's more like the Joker and the Penguin together. Emily and Kobe. Emily from Salina, Kansas. And Kobe's from Cameroon. And the interesting thing about this, you and I were talking about them right before watching episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something, and I'll be damned. Kobe said the exact same thing when the show started.
Yeah, because I was like, Salina, Kansas. I lived in Kansas City. I've had to drive through Salina, Kansas before. Mm-hmm. And there are no black people. I told Giannis, I don't even think there's an MLK Street in Salina, Kansas.
You did some Googling, is there?
I couldn't find one. I could not find MLK Street in Salina, Kansas. But I was like, good luck with that move. And it's not only are you black, you're like, as they say, real black.
Because he is from the motherland. And, you know, here's the thing. Him in that restaurant, he goes, I feel like I'm the only black person in here. I know exactly what he feels like because I was interviewing back when I left radio for about 6 months, right? And I was interviewing with Kroger Mid-Atlantic. I was in Roanoke, Virginia, and at their corporate office. And I remember, like, my first trip there, I saw two black people. One at the desk when I was checking out of the hotel, and one at a gas station when I was leaving Roanoke. And I think I was actually technically outside of Roanoke, so mm-hmm. one. So I know exactly what he felt like. I know there are more black people in Roanoke than those two, but I know what he felt when he was sitting there like, there are no black people around here.
Mm. Well, you know, their whole story to me is odd because she was living this party life that I'm assuming her parents funded because mm-hmm. she was young.
But she was also teaching English over there in China.
Touche. So she's out partying.
Mm-hmm.
What was supposed to be a one-night stand with an underwear model.
Mm-hmm. Because she likes black guys. Remember, don't forget that.
She
made sure she pointed that out.
She definitely wants some coffee in her cream. Definitely. But she, you know, has this, you know, think it's going to be a one-night stand. They wind up dating, fall in love. He proposes. And he's supposed to move back. And then COVID happens. So that's the thing. And then COVID happens. That's what we should title this one.
It's definitely going to be called And Then COVID Happened.
So what I don't understand is her concern about the weight gain, mm-hmm. because you're the mother of his kid. If he has issue with you gaining weight, that's his problem. But aren't y'all FaceTiming? Like, doesn't he see it? And he's not stupid. I could see a face and know, okay, there's probably a lot more to that face than what you're showing.
You're an asshole.
I'm just saying, like, you can see, like, you're video chatting. Like, how does he not realize, you know, that she's not
maybe only her face grew.
She turned into a bobblehead going back to Salina, Kansas.
Hey, you know, different things happen in America.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, I think he would still love her regardless, but I can tell, I get it. You know, she hasn't physically been around that person for 2 years. What's it like? And I think if their whole connection was mainly all physical, I'm curious to see what their relationship's going to be like. Now, what I didn't like about her is, why didn't you just tell him the whole plan? Hey, when I pick you up, we're going to go to a hotel because you and I need one night
mm-hmm.
to reconnect, get back to know each other, if you will, in the biblical sense. Then you go meet your son.
Here's the thing about that. And it's a very great point of tell him the plan. Because had he been, she was going, let's go meet Coben now. And he's like, no, why don't we spend some time together so we can get to know each other first? People would be dragging his ass. But he's never met his son except right. on video call. So yes, of course he wants to go see him. But he understood, let's go, let's have our time because we're going to go, again, live with the parents.
But I think if I put myself in Kobe's shoes, however long that flight is from Cameroon to Kansas City, Missouri, mm-hmm. all I'm thinking about is that first getting off the plane to hold my son. Mm-hmm. The whole flight. Mm-hmm. And we know that's not like a 3-hour Austin to Baltimore flight. That's a long flight that yeah. all you're thinking about. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about her too and all that, but you're really thinking about meeting your son for the yeah. first time. So, indeed. Yeah, it totally threw him off when he's like, well, wait, where are we going? And then the way she keeps, I can't wait to see the next episode because the way she keeps like all the underwear and all this other different things. I'm like, y'all got one night. What are y'all doing? In one night, you got a whole kit.
Hey. At least you didn't try to bring out the underwear from China, because I'm like, what are you going to do? Put that on your hand?
I'm just curious to see where this is going to go. And what's the dynamic going to be at the parents' house? Because if yeah. he can't work, you just got this black dude in the house that can't.
Yo, I love her dad, though, because her dad's like, all right, I'll do this, but don't you get pregnant. And her dad was straightforward in that when he said that, because he's right. He's, I know you haven't seen each other in a while, but don't you get pregnant. And her dad was right in saying that, because yeah. I want to know, how are you in China? What is supposed to be a one night stand? Yeah, y'all start hanging out some more. But when did you take the condom off, or did you ever put it on? Well, because personal. You got knocked up pretty damn quick, because they were only hanging out for about 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, but that Cameroon sperm ain't no joke.
Oh, you think it broke through?
Superman.
And, you know, the thing about it, here's the other part that I think is kind of wild, too. You've got to have some compassion for somebody who's traveled these long international flights. Just because yeah. you know how long it is when you get back in the country, just even going through U.S. customs. You mm-hmm. know how long that is. If you're a citizen, that line is long. If you're not, that line is even longer. Okay? So don't drop 40 pounds of bullshit on them immediately. Like, let you know, if I'm him, all the shit she drops at him on dinner, I'm like, you know what? The hell with sex. We're good. I'm going to roll over and go to sleep because I'm tired. And you just hit me with all this nonsense. I'm done.
Yeah, I'll do it myself. I just need 2 minutes.
Then I'll be asleep. I don't need this bullshit. Oh, you know, Ari and Benny, they were on 90 Day Fiancé the other way. So I've seen quite a bit of their story, at least the beginning of their story, right? Now, mm-hmm. Ari comes from a very well-to-do family, okay? She comes from a Jewish family, and her dad, I think, is either a doctor or a dentist. I think he's a doctor. And her mom was a nurse, and her mom's pretty straightforward. She's been to Ethiopia with her to meet Benny. Benny is another one of those dreamers. Benny's like Jabri. And you'll notice this about Benny, because when he's introduced on this show, he talks about all the things that he is. He's a dancer. He's an artist. He's a martial artist. I've seen him when they did his martial arts thing with him at the back. They only showed him doing the backflip this time. But if you saw what they showed in 90 Day the Other Way, he wouldn't last in a fight, okay?
90 Day the Other Way, that's a...
Oh, this franchise is way bigger than you think it is, man. There's the 90 Day Fiancé, Where Are They Now? 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, Before the 90 Days, The Single Life. There's so... Pillow Talk. There's so many different versions of this thing. So mm-hmm. You're being introduced to this couple for the first time. Those who've been following the franchise for a while have seen these two together. But I'm interested to hear what you think about their interaction with his family and about Benny as a whole.
Just about Benny as a whole. He's just weak, I think. Like, he doesn't stand up for himself. And I think that Ari maybe likes that, because she comes across like this, you know, dominant person in the relationship. Mm-hmm. He just seems very weak. And I just don't understand that. I can't relate to that. But he also goes to go tell her parent. Well, what I thought was funny, his sister didn't even want to touch Ari because of COVID. They get to the place. She's like, oh, no, COVID.
Because COVID happened.
Right. But I'm like, okay, Benny, if you plan to move, why would you tell your family this way? Like, Why are you so scared to tell your family? They're your
and
family.
The night before.
And the night before you're about to leave. That's just some chicken shit stuff to do. So I just don't, like, why are they together? Is it, I just don't know. I don't know.
They've definitely had a very rocky relationship over, and they kind of address it a little bit in episode 3. But like his sister said, he doesn't seem happy because he's always like, oh, well, this, oh, well, that. And so that's why I think he was so scared to tell them. But the fact, you could tell even his friends were like, well, he told us, and he hasn't told his family. They're like, this is going to be fun to watch. And to give some more backstory, he kind of talks about it a little bit as well. But Benny had another American girl that he was involved in. She got pregnant. She left, went back to the States. He's never seen his son, his first son. So this son with Ari is his second son, right? But he's never seen the first son, who's 3.5 years old. And that's what the sisters also reference. Is like, that's why the sisters asked her at one point, like, if you break up, are you going to take him, his son away from him like the other girl did, like the other American girl did? And I think it's unfair for them to kind of do that to her. But at the same time, I also understand it because the other girl got mad. She left. Benny is the baby of the family, and he obviously still acts like it.
Well, he does. But I think you got to. And I'm sure there's history there, but I think Ari has to understand, how do you connect with other people's families? Mm-hmm. And to your point, cultures could be very different. And you got to be able to. She has to understand why the sisters feel the way, but they've never gotten along from the beginning.
They didn't, so but here's the other thing too. You got to, I will say this because it's not like I'm picking Ari's side on this, but Ari comes from a very well-to-do family, okay? And when Biddy, for those who, and please chime in and Phil Terrell and fill in the blanks because I'm going to miss a lot of these. But in the other way, when he got the place for them, oh, it was a horrible place. It was bad. It was worse than the place that Bilal took Shaida, okay? It was bad. And this is where you want the mother of your child to live, because again, he's a dreamer. He's a big dreamer, but no real solid plan. Even when her mom first got there, and they're like, so how do you plan to take care of the family? Well, I plan to do this, and I plan to do that, and I plan to do this, and they're like, that doesn't sound like a plan.
Yeah, I just don't get it. That's the other thing about all these couples. You're going to another country, you got to start over. Mm-hmm. It's not easy just to, it'd be one thing if you're a software developer in Cameroon and now you're coming over here to be a software developer. That makes sense. But like, what are you doing? You're not modeling underwear anymore. And
there's always underwear to model though.
No, I mean, get them an OnlyFans maybe. That's what you can do down in Salina in the basement. Kobe, what are you doing? I'm making content. Leave me alone.
Eve and Muhammad. This was an interesting couple, because Eve is 48. Muhammad is 25.
This couple, I just don't understand. So she's 48, mm-hmm. has a special needs child. Mm-hmm. He's 25. So a huge gap. And he even made the comment like, you know, I feel like the woman that's going to take care of me is going to take care of me like my mother. I'm like, ooh, really?
Yeah. And really, you can tell that when she's like, well, I didn't get the bidet done. It's okay. You'll get it done.
It's okay, mommy. You'll get it done. Until then, you're going to have to come wipe my ass for me because I'm not doing it.
And I get his reasoning behind it because, you know, for his religion, and it's got to be clean and it's easier. And I mean, it's different culture, right? And different cultures have different ways of cleaning, and the toilet paper isn't going to do it. It's, you know, some people look at the toilet paper and like, why would you do that when you can actually just wash your ass every time? But he really is coming in as if that's a sugar mama. And it's going to be interesting to see how this kind of plays out, even though from the scenes you've seen from upcoming episodes, I'm not a fan of her friends trying to purposely make him uncomfortable against his own religious belief, because they go like, well, you're trying to change your life for his religious beliefs, but he's in America now, so he's got to just do this.
Speak English.
Don't you speak that shit. Speak English.
Okay, but here's the thing, is that they have a point. Because, and this is her friends trying to talk some sense to her. I think maybe she's going through this midlife crisis. This young guy, you know, was actually attracted to me. She's sliding up in people's DMs. Mm-hmm. You know, you're 47 years old, sliding up in people's DMs. Right. That's like 20, because what? She would have been 46. He'd have been 23. So I think her
you're
friends
are trying
to tell her.
You're never too old to slide in the DMs.
I think her friends are trying to tell her, like, you're sacrificing all this stuff for this guy. Mm-hmm. So when we get together, am I supposed to not drink around you anymore? You're not going to be the same person you were. But right. She's sacrificing all this for this guy who doesn't bring anything to the table.
Right.
Besides youth and looks. You know, she's going to be taking care of him and her special needs child.
Now, I agree in that sense. And I think part of it has got to be, it can't be that she just goes directly to his. But you can't expect him to do the same and go the other way. Exactly. When you have different cultural backgrounds, there's got to be a compromise and somewhere in between. But it doesn't have to be that it's my way or the highway. Because you have no highway. You're coming over here and you're dependent on her.
You have no job. You have no income. Now, who knows?
But you also have a sex slave.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you know what's going to happen in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's the thing about age, these big age gaps that always come into effect, right? I know somebody who dated an older guy, and one of the things I think her mom said to her was like, so in 15, 20 years, you realize he's going to be an old man. They made it probably about 10, but you know, it was one of those things. And I think part of it happened is old age kicked in and they ended up having to break up. The thing, though, I will say about her friends, and they're doing a good job of trying to get their concerns out. Now, what I don't like is what they try to do later by, you know, cleavage all out. I'm like, does this make you uncomfortable? Like, why would you do that? Right. Because if he goes no and starts motorboarding all y'all, then y'all be mad. I'm just saying, you can't, don't do that. That's just as disrespectful as him just staring at your titties all day.
But that's who she was before she went out there and met this guy. That's who she was. Mm-hmm. That's how she dressed all the time. All her friends, they all dress that way.
I'm not saying don't dress that way, but trying to intentionally make him feel uncomfortable about it. And maybe because they only showed us a snippet, I may be misreading it, but from the clip they showed, it seems that way, right? Yeah. But here's where I don't fault her friends. Use the full 90 days to get to know each other, because they don't know each other. And that age difference is going to be a problem at some point. Now, is it going to be on the 8th day or the 88th day? We don't know. Just hope it's not the 98th day.
Well, I think what will happen is, at some point, he's going to try to come across like, I'm the man,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the house. And the American her is going to come out and be like, wait a minute, you don't work? You don't do this? I paid for the bidet. I paid for all this stuff here. You ain't going to tell me shit.
I can't even spell bidet to put one in my goddamn house.
I'm about to go put my bikini on. I'm going out with my friends. You need to calm the hell down and reevaluate
I'm going grocery
how you
shopping.
Talk to me.
I'm going to put on my bikini and I'm going grocery shopping.
Yeah, you need to reevaluate how you talk. But I mean, I can see that's where the age difference is going to come in, where he's going to try to, you know, I'm the man of the relationship, and she's going to be like, no.
Yeah.
You're my second kid.
You know, there's another couple we haven't gotten to, and we'll meet them in episode 4. So interesting, because your neighbor, Patrick, is on the show, so we'll get to meet him next episode. But we got to go back to the guy that started off the show. In a place that you were in before, Kansas City, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Bilal went to Trinidad and Tobago, met Shaida, and after 7 days gave her a ring. And then COVID happened.
COVID happened. I can't stand this guy. I can't stand him at all because... So again, here's my thought. COVID happened, so y'all been texting, FaceTiming for 2 years. You've sat in front of a blank white wall purposely for 2 years or was someplace else out and about. And after 2 years of doing that, you still think she's a gold digger. You still don't trust her. Like, what have you been talking about?
She knows you're hiding something.
Right. But I mean, like, so why would you trust her? Mm-hmm. I don't understand that. And then I'm looking at her. I'm like, okay, I know they have Wi-Fi in Trinidad. So why didn't you Google search his, you know, he owns these homes. That's public record. You can look that stuff up if you want. See where he lives. Hit the satellite view. You can see the street.
Yeah.
Look directly at this front door. See where he lives if you wanted to. But also go to his Facebook page. And for his company, and you can see how he's dressing, how he's carrying himself. And so I'm like, how do you not know? I just don't get it. I just don't get it. I Google the hell out of people. If I'm going to meet somebody, I'm internet stalking. I need to figure you out before we meet up.
My favorite thing was when she was on the phone with her mom, and her mom was like, what he do? He rent them suits? But let's be honest. When the show started, you knew he was on some bullshit when he said he was hood bougie and he shows up in that Easter Sunday suit, right? If my realtor shows up in that suit, I'm not trusting half the shit he's telling me, first of all, okay? That Easter Sunday suit, save that for Easter Sunday. But also, the fact that he can't pronounce certain words like et cetera and brought, instead he says brung. Those are immediate red flags. There's no way she should have, because you can't tell me in the 7 days they were together, he didn't say et cetera and brung at some point. She should have been like, no, keep that ring until you learn what et cetera is. And the past tense of bring is not brung.
I think that's going to be my dating test. Before I can go out with you, I need to hear you say salmon. That's going to be fair.
What are you going to be? Okay, say salmon and now say, when you want to question somebody, what do? You what them?
Yeah. Did you just say at? Okay. Yeah. I changed my mind. It's not going to work out. I'm going to have to ax you to leave.
I'm going to ax this date a little short.
And here's what annoyed me about him, too. She traveled this far. You show up in that dirty-ass van. Now, you could have showed up in a van that was clean on the inside. At least have the courtesy to do that. But you show up in this dirty old van, and then they get to the house, and she has all these questions. And again, this is when I go, okay, remember I asked you, I'm like, what language do they speak in the Trinidad? Because maybe there's like a language barrier. She speaks English. Why can't she say to herself, hey, Bilal, I have a couple questions. When you came to Trinidad to see me, I saw a whole lot of expensive suits and all these different things.
She did
do
that, though.
I'm in this house. My concern is that you're living outside of your means. Now, I can rock with you in this house. That's what we got to do. But you got to stop buying these belts and stuff like that.
You don't need Louis Vuitton baggage if you can't.
Baggage.
If you can't have a roof that's not falling down. Look. But she did do that. She mentioned, she's like, here's the thing that irritated me about that entire interaction, right? First of all, to your point, dirty ass van, he tried to throw her luggage back there. She's like, give me my shit. I'll hold it. Because you're not putting my good luggage back there with that crap. Didn't he even try to put her purse back there? You kidding me? Okay. But the other thing is, in the house, what does she say? Well, what do you think? Well, it looks like we're going to need to do some fixing up around here. And what was his response? We need to fix your attitude. Really? Now, she apologized the next day, and I think it was because of a lot of the snide remarks she made after that, which I understand because if I'm telling you this place does not look good and we need to fix it up, instead of being offended, yes, I know we need to do some fixing. Because if you think that's normal, if you think this shit right here with the ceiling peeling is normal, then that's a problem. And that's all to me, that's what she was trying to say to him. And see, the fact that he is on this be grateful bullshit And, well, you need to be grateful. So he wants her to be grateful that he brought her over here. Look, the fact that you can't trust her, that you got to pull this bullshit reindeer games, is crazy to me. I have no problem with the prenup. You have money. Protect your money for your kids. Okay? Like Chris Rock said a long time ago, everybody should have a prenup. Not just because you have $3 million. If you have $30,000 and your wife won't have.
Well, here's the deal. I personally get tired of that story of, you know, I grew up poor and here's what I'm at. Good for you. You're not the only one that did it. And a lot of people come out of it and they don't turn into assholes like this guy does. Where, you know, every woman is after you for your money. And it's all about this. When you put on this showy, flashy thing, you could easily roll around the streets of Kansas City selling homes in a brand new Honda Accord. You chose a Mercedes, right? Exactly. You wanted that look. You wear those suits for a reason. But don't get all bougie and judgmental of someone and questioning if they want your money that you've been talking to for 2 years.
And you went traveling with the Louis Vuitton baggage and the nice watches and all that for a reason.
Yeah, for a reason.
Men don't buy that shit just so we can have it. We buy that shit because we know it looks good and it attracts the fish. It's bait. All that shit. The fancy car is bait. It's the reason why I drive an SUV now. I don't need any bait. I retired the Mustang.
that's why I bought the Audi. That's bait.
That's how I knew my wife loved me. I didn't have the Mustang when I met her.
Yeah, I wasn't doing too well with the Chevy Cruze. I wasn't doing too well with the Chevy Cruze. I had to, like, upgrade and move to find a different pond.
How's that worked out so far?
Well, here I am on a Monday night.
Yo, the thing I like about Shaida, though, because she was really straightforward and told him, like, you should have told me you were struggling, right? She didn't say that she didn't want to stay there. But her thing was, we've got to do better. Like, this is not where we need to be. Mm-hmm. And he heard none of that. Mm-mm. All he heard was, I don't like this place. I looked at it and didn't like the place, and I wasn't even there.
This is my mama's house. I grew up in this house.
What I didn't like was her reaction when she realized that, oh, this is his place. This is his actual place. Because I'm like, now you're just playing into his fucking ego. And this jackass just gets a bigger head off of that.
I wish them the best, but that's just, he's just annoying. I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't.
You talk about the conversations they have and they don't have, right? Interesting conversation that came up was when he spoke with his sister. And he mentioned that Shaida had been engaged twice before, but didn't know why those engagements were broken off, because he just didn't ask why. That made no sense. You've been talking to this woman for 2 years after spending 7 days with her and never asked her why she broke off those engagements. Doesn't that seem strange?
Yeah, that's freaking strange. In 2 weeks, I'm asking a lot of questions. Did you say four kids? But that's I'm asking a lot of questions, you know, so I don't understand how these people who are madly in love don't ask. Because I think if you're madly in love, then it's easier to be open because they shouldn't judge you. So just be honest. Put all that on the table. But again, it wouldn't be reality TV if they didn't find some idiot who didn't ask enough questions. And then it's like to find out, oh, you killed your two fiancés? Didn't know.
They're buried under your house?
Yeah. They're buried in a house that looks just like this. So this is why you don't like it? You're triggered?
You know, I think the important point of this right now, of this season 9, episodes 1-3 recap, is ask questions. Not just because you're bringing someone from overseas. Ask questions. There's nothing in the opening stages. It's all about getting to know that person. And sometimes you're going to have to ask those questions again later just to see if the answer remains the same. Okay. Yep. Because we all know the representative is out at first. Who is really that person? Is he out here looking for love? That's part of what it comes down to. Answer those questions and be prepared for the answers, because you know my motto, man. Don't ask the questions you don't want the answers to, because if you ask the question, I give you the answer. Don't be mad. To not be mad at the answer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 2 years of talking to somebody and you've not done this yet. Like, that's the thing that's sad. It's not like a married at first sight where you just now, okay, I just met this person. Now we're married. Mm-hmm. A whole lot to take in. But y'all been talking for 2 years about what? Like, what are y'all been talking about for 2 years that y'all can't? Just dumb. Just dumb.
Yeah, you got to break through that. That surface level shit is cool. That cutesy stuff, cool. At some point, you got to get past it. And
yeah,
it's going to be interesting the way the season plays out. First three episodes in. How you feeling about the show so far, though?
It's stupid. It's just stupid. It's just stupid. That. It's just dumb. Dumb. Sorry. It's sorry, not sorry. It's just dumb. You know, that you got these people for 2 years, they've been talking to each other. And here we are. They're limping in with this bullshit. It's just dumb.
We look forward to the rest of your ever so eloquent insight into 90 Day Fiancé. Because...
You're gaslighting me. Stop it.
At least I'm not blackfishing you, okay?
Yeah.
Hey, so here's what's going to happen. Of course, we're taking this week off for Married at First Sight. So go ahead, make sure you like, comment, share this episode, because here we're back on Sunday with another 90 Day Fiancé Season 9 recap. Then next Wednesday, we're back for Decision Day of Married at First Sight. And that is going to be interesting all by itself as 0 of 5 couples decide to stay together.
Well, we'll see.
You're still holding out hope. I know you are. Yeah.
Come on, Stephen Noe.
Oh, boy. If only if, look, they were my pick from the get-go.
No deals with the devil this time.
I was trying.
Nope, not gonna happen. Not gonna happen.
Hey, I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on a regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.